All right, how you doing, guys? Welcome back to the Stephen Jung Show, this podcast. As you guys know, I run my business, Jung Agency, my firm. We do financial planning, life insurance, and we do retirement planning. My guest today actually is my partner, someone I have a lot of respect for. We've working together for about 3 or 4 years now, had a lot of success, and I brought him on. He's been recently promoted to the CEO position of the Jung Agency. So, Mark, congratulations on that promotion, pretty relatively recently. And today we just want to talk about life insurance. Life insurance is something that a lot of people kind of know about. They know it's important, but they have a ton of questions about it, and they don't really know where to go and how to get it, and how to obtain it, or how to even speak to a professional for that matter. Amongst my circle of friends, I've been in the insurance business for over 12 years, and I don't know one single insurance agent outside of myself, to be honest. So it's kind of crazy how a lot of people don't know really know insurance agents. I know a bunch of financial advisors. I know a bunch of doctors, a bunch of dentists, a bunch of lawyers. But my social friends, I just don't have any insurance agents. So today we'll talk a little bit about that. So I'll go over top 10 questions. Actually, Mark, we've been a little introduction to you. I think you've been licensed for over how many years now? I think 4 years now. Is that correct?
Exactly. Yeah, it's been exactly 4 years. I actually had a memory pop up from Facebook. My first sale ever. So that was just recently. So yeah, 4 years exactly.
Okay. Awesome. You're in the business 4 years. I've been in 12 years. I mean, that's like over 15 years of service and financial, just in insurance business, financial service. I've been over 20 years in that business. Yeah. There's another video, guys, about investments, how I talk about that. Click right here. You can learn a little bit more about how we're investing and preserving people's wealth as well as growing it at the same time. They're not mutually exclusive. You actually can do both at the same time. So the questions we're going to talk about, Mark, the most I've done some research, and the public want to know about these questions. So I kind of want to go over them and ask them to you, okay?
All right, let's do
so
it.
What are the different types of life insurance, Mark?
So this is a really interesting question. In fact, when I ask people this, like, they're very confused by it because people think of life insurance, they're just like, there's just one type, right? It's just, you know, you pass away and that's it. Well, it's actually a little bit more complicated than that. I'm going to keep it very, very, very basic because there are different nuances that I could really get into. But just for today's sake, I'm going to keep it very simple for you guys. So the first type is term insurance. Term, like in the name, term is kind of short for terminate. So it's a certain set period of time that you're going to have coverage. That could be 10, 15, 20, 30 years, something like that. Typically, you know, if you outlive that policy, in most cases, you know, you kind of lose that coverage. Now, we do have companies that offer a return of premium at the end of that term period, which is very unique in terms of that product. But generally speaking, once that contract's over, you no longer have coverage and you have to requalify.
Okay. So is that like there's like 10, 15, 20, 25, 30? Okay, that's a standard term out there. I see a lot of marketing out there for term insurance. That's interesting you said about return of premium. I've never seen that before. Is that a relatively new thing, new option?
Yes, that's a very new option. I mean, the biggest knock on term insurance, obviously, is the fact that, you know, once you outlive it, then there's no real benefit because the other types that we're going to talk about, you know, there's things to kind of fall back on if you live longer than expected, or you want to do something different with the policy, there's other options. So the big knock on, you know, term insurance as well, you know, what happens if, you know, I live long, or what happens if I need money in the future? Well, with return of premium, you know, typically it's on a longer term. So a 25 year or a 30 year, that at the end of that term period, the insurance company will actually give you every single dollar that you've paid into it right back to you.
Wow. So that costs a little bit more, obviously, for that feature, which is a great feature, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, you're paying a little bit more, but you're going to get every single dollar back. So, I mean, at the end of the day, it's worth it. So if you pass away during the term period, obviously the term insurance pays out to your beneficiary. If you outlive it, you get all your money back. So it's kind of like a win-win.
Okay. So term insurance is, what are some things that you would use for term insurance? Like mortgage stuff. So what are some stuff that you use for term insurance in particular?
Yeah, these are some topics we're going to cover later, but I don't want to dive too deep too soon, but term insurance has a lot of benefits. There's a time and a place for term. Okay. So yeah.
All right. Sure. So what other different types of life insurance besides the term? We went over the first one, which is term, obviously.
So kind of on the opposite side of the spectrum is whole life insurance. So this is generally the type of insurance that, you know, as you get older, you definitely want to have, although I encourage young people to take part in whole life insurance, but certainly as you get older, it's something that you want to invest in. So that's permanent life insurance. It's one contract for life. You know, typically it covers you until the age of 120 or 125, which is like, you know, you'd be like the first person to ever do that if you outlive a whole life policy. So in most cases, you're not going to outlive it. It does build cash and loan value. So, you know, the knock on term is that, you know, once you outlive the term period, there's kind of really nothing there to fall back on. With whole life insurance, you do have cash value. We'll kind of talk a little bit about it later, but you can use that cash value to take loans. You can use that cash value to, cover payments, missed payments, or just have to stop payments altogether. You can use that accumulated value to do those things with. So, but once you lock in the rate's set for life. It's, you know, based upon your current age and your current health. So it's good to get it while you're younger. So the premiums aren't too expensive, because that's going to be your premium for life.
Got it. And one great thing actually is people don't realize that whole life is you could be infinite banking, be your own bank. A lot of people are saying this very popular right now on social media, but yeah, taking a loan against your policy, it's separate from your policy. Your policy is compounding, will continue to compound, even though you have that loan on the side, which's been collateralized by your life insurance policy. So when you decide that it's taken out from that, so therefore your money is still working for you through the policy of your plan, and your interest, obviously, that you're paying to yourself is on the side. So that is one great feature about the whole life policy.
Yep.
All right, let's move on to the next one.
So the next one is kind of the in-between. So a while back, actually, I spoke to someone who's like around during the time when they were rolling out the original universal whole life policies, and kind of why that came about was, people liked the fact that term was a little bit cheaper, but they liked the fact that with whole life, you know, you could build cash value, and also people wanted to participate in the stock market as well. So they kind of found something that brought all those features together. Now there's different variations of universal whole life. As an agency, we work with indexed universal whole life plans. Kind of how those work, basically, it's same principle. You know, part of your premium is going towards the cost of insurance, and part of your premium is going towards building your cash value. Now, the amount of interest that's gained on your cash value account is based upon an index that you choose. So one of our favorite indices is the BNP Paribas, obviously, that we talked about in the last video, S&P 500, the Paysetter. I mean, there's tons of different, indices out there that you can choose. Completely up to you. It's, you know, you and your agent can kind of sit down. And that's something that every year we go back and we revisit, see how that indices is performing. If we need to change something, we do so. But you have the potential of growing your cash value faster than whole life, which is going to be a fixed interest rate, typically, you know, between 4% and 6% is whole life. It's very conservative. It's guaranteed. You're going to get that interest credited every single year. With a IUL or index universal life, you know, that 1 year you might have 13% interest credited, 1 year you might have 0%, but there is a floor with it. So it's not like you're going to lose money.
Oh, so it's only credits. Obviously, you cannot lose money. It's only about credits if the market does well. That's great about the universal fixed index, universal whole life. So
yeah. Now, there's downsides to it. One downside being if you get into it later in life, you know, the cost of insurance will continue to increase with time. So if the market doesn't perform during that time period, then you're not going to build a lot of cash value. You know, if you don't overfund it in the early stages or the market doesn't perform well, then, you know, that coverage is going to end up not being completely permanent. So kind of the risk that you take. But if the younger that you get into that product, the more upside that you have. We'll kind of talk about some of the things that you can use an IUL for as we get on with the video. But it's a good intermediary for people, especially if you're older and you want some type of I don't want to get too deep too early, but you know, it could be used for mortgage protection. There's, you know, other options out there for that. We'll talk about the lifetime income stream and all that later on, but that's
cool. Let's try to get through these questions. There's so many questions that the public need to have, and we're here to answer on this podcast.
Yes. Try to get through
them all. So next one, is there any other insurances out there besides those three?
Yeah. So, I mean, those are the main three. You'll see other types of phrasing out there. So it's important to know what people are talking about when you hear these terms. So, one topic is final expense. So that's something that you might see out there, and you may get confused when someone's like, "Oh, do you want life insurance or do you want, you know, final expense?" And you're like, "Aren't they the same thing?" Yes and no. Final expense is just that. It's just to cover your final expenses. Life insurance has many other ways that it can be used. One of them being just to cover burial, cremation, whatever. So that's, when you think of final expense, that's what they're talking about. That's typically whole life insurance that they're using for final expenses. It's, you know, 'cause it's conservative, it's going to be there, it's guaranteed, you know, at the very minimum, you know that your final expenses will be taken care of.
So tell them about qualifying, because my dad had colon cancer, he had a stroke. Now, final expenses, how are the underwriting process? I mean, when people want final expense, they're a little bit older. They're 50, 55, 60. I mean, they're going to have some health issues. They're going to have cancer. They've had a heart attack. They have diabetes. Tell them about our offerings and who we work with. Like, if I had a heart attack, like my wife, or let's say my mom had cancer, and she obviously now needs life insurance. It's an example, not the case, but, you know, could we help someone like that who had been diagnosed with cancer or had a heart attack, like, or something like that? Or that's when people really need life insurance, like when people are scared. Unfortunately, a lot of our clients, they react. They're not proactive, they're reactive. So like something bad happens, now we need it, right?
Yeah, that's the case for everything. If people could be more proactive, we wouldn't have so many problems in this world. But with that being said, we actually have a lot of offerings for people in that very situation. I've helped out a lot of people, and, you know, people have been very thankful that I've been able to find coverage for their parents that, you know, had a lot of health issues. They've been declined. They've been in that situation. It is disheartening to be declined by an insurance company. It's kind of scary, especially when you're like, you don't really think that you have something that wrong, but, you know, you go to the doctor, you get a diagnosis, you don't really understand completely, you know, what that thing is and how it can affect you. But, you know, an insurance company looks at that. They're not looking at, you know, you as the person. They're looking at just numbers on a paper, you know, statistics, and, you know, they see those types of things. But that being said, there are companies out there, AIG, Physicians Mutual, companies like that we're working with, TrueStage, that have guaranteed issue whole life insurance products. How those essentially work is there are no medical questions. They're guaranteed.
No medical questions.
No medical
application. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's literally a one-page application. It's like, what's your address? Who are we giving the money to? And it's pretty straightforward. Obviously, there's, you know, that's the benefit of it. It's, you know, guaranteed to issue. It is whole life insurance. It does build cash and loan value. It has all the same benefits that a typical life insurance plan does have. The downside being is that there's a 2-year wait period for the coverage to fully take effect. Within the first 2 years, though, they will pay out what you've paid in plus an additional 10%.
Oh, wow. 10% of your money is that bad. So
better than investing in the stock market. Yeah. If the greater the premium that you pay, the more, you know, that's going to pay out. So if you start paying $300 a month, you're going to get 10% on your money. You know, it's a really good option. And I encourage people to take it after the second year, then you're locked in, after that. So, I mean, you can't beat it. You know, a lot of companies don't have that available. and they have like modified contracts that take, you know, 4 years to reach their full value and stuff like that. So it's actually a really good option for people. And it's amazing that those companies do that. You know, they have a balanced portfolio, so they're able to, you know, kind of, you know, create a situation where they can cover people in that situation, and it works for everyone. So, yeah.
All right, great. So that pretty much wraps up all the different types of life insurance. You'd say term, whole life, universal whole life, final expense.
And just quickly, so there, we kind of alluded to this earlier, but, you know, term insurance has a time and a place, obviously. So, you know, a lot of people use it to protect their mortgage. So you'll see a lot of times mortgage protection. There's a lot of ads out there, especially at a bank or something like that. Mm-hmm. You see something that says mortgage protection. We're talking about term insurance in most cases, because it's cheap insurance that, you know, allows you to get a large face amount. And you can set the term periods to the same term period that your mortgage is. So if you have a 15-year mortgage, you get a 30-year mortgage, you get a 15-year or 30-year term. There are decreasing terms that, you know, the balance decreases as your mortgage balance decreases, and those are a little bit cheaper than your typical term. And then aside from that, you know, income protection. So you're working, right? Something happens to you tomorrow, you know, how's your wife going to pay the bills the next day? How's your, you know, how's your wife pay for, you know, a lot of stuff that you guys share. So income.
I think the rule of thumb is like 10 to 15 times whatever your gross income is how much life insurance you should be taking out. So,
oh, absolutely.
If you're making $100,000 a year, you need to take out at least $1 million minimum to $1.5 million of income protection. So I see a lot of people, they're making like $300,000 to $200,000 a year, and they have like a $500,000 life insurance plan. I'm like, that's like 2.5 years of your salary. So, yeah, a lot of people don't know about that.
If you think about it, like, if something happens to you, let's say your wife is a stay-at-home wife. Obviously, you know, your wife is a pharmacist. She's killing it. You make a lot of money. But, you know, let's say, like, you had a spouse that, you know, stay-at-home wife or stay-at-home husband, for that matter. If something happens to the main breadwinner, how long would it take for the other person to recover? I mean, obviously, they're devastated during that time, but, you know, what are they going to do? Go back to college? You know, they're going to need money for that. It's going to take a lot of time before they get back into a good position. So, I mean, you got to be realistic. 10 years, 15 years of salaries, but yeah, you really,
that's right. And it's relatively cheap to get it. So term insurance is very, very affordable, I would say.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we got carriers, Banner Life, Ethos, very competitive rates, Protective, yeah. Symmetry, okay. Great term rates.
That's my next lead question. Question number two, how do I buy life insurance? What are the ways you can buy it? I mean, everyone needs it. They know they need it, but they do. The problem, I think, reason why people don't get life insurance, they just don't know where to go. They're like, phone book or friend of a friend.
You know, it's funny, like, before I came into the industry, I'd never been offered life insurance the first 28 years of my life. And, you know, most people, it's just not something that you commonly talk about.
Yeah.
And like, it's not like car insurance. You're like, well, I just got a car. Let me go get, you know.
Well, that's by, the thing is with car insurance, it's really, it's by law, you have to have it. So
yeah.
If they made life insurance mandatory, everyone would know how to buy it. It would be like, all right, you go here, you go there. You need to have
right.
it. And I think we should all have life insurance. It's very unfortunate that Americans only have 50% of Americans only have life insurance, which is terrible for a developed country. Countries like I'm Korean, Korea, and Japan, they have like over 95% insurance. So it's a thing that United States has to catch up. We're way behind, I feel like.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I mean, the Americans, it's like, unless we're forced to do something, we're not doing it. it is what it is. So that being said, here are the ways, you know, you can go about getting life insurance. So the simplest way, you know, if you're the type of person like, I don't really care, you know, it's whatever, you could call a 1-800 number. There's plenty of, you know, commercials out there where it's like, you know, 1-800 get a quote or whatever. You know, you could do that. That's an option, not something that I would personally recommend, especially when it comes to life insurance. Auto insurance, kind of whatever, you know, there aren't many variations of auto insurance. So you don't really need someone who's very like, you know, educated on the subject. You know, pretty much anyone can kind of get you, you know, you full coverage or liability. It's, you know, it's very, very straight to the point and simple. So that's one way. Another way is filling out a form online. You know, there's tons of advertisements and things like that, that do go to legitimate companies and legitimate agents. You know, you can kind of give an idea of what you're looking for. And then, you know, someone, a professional will reach out to you. That is one way. Another way is going to like an actual insurance office. There are, you know, there's State Farm, there's other people that have storefronts that you can go to, and speak with someone. But the one way I recommend, above any of these is referral. You want to work with someone that, you know, someone that you know is working with. The value in that is that you know already that this person is trusted by someone that you know, person has done a good job, this person has followed through, you know, this person, you know, has an idea what they're talking about. So you want to typically work with, you know, someone that, you know, works with a family member or friend or something like that, that comes as a referral. So, you know, I would, you know, challenge you to ask your relatives, ask your friends, like, who do you guys use, you know, for your life insurance? Because you want to have a guy, a go-to, someone that's going to treat you different than just the general public, so that they can really take a look at your case and take time and, you know, weigh out all the options, so that you can get the best plan possible.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah.
All right. So this is number question number three is, how much is $1 million of life insurance? How much would that cost you?
It's kind of a loaded question. $1 million of coverage, it really varies. You know, it depends on the product first and foremost. Obviously, $1 million of term insurance is going to be a lot less expensive than $1 million of whole life insurance. That $1 million is guaranteed in whole life. Term insurance is not guaranteed to pay out. It's also going to depend on your age. So what age are you applying for that insurance? The younger you are, the cheaper it's going to be. Your health, you may not be able to qualify for $1 million. If you don't get it while you're young and before you develop health issues. Also, if you are fine with going through a physical, you know, you can qualify for lower rates potentially, depending on the results of that physical, obviously. So if you're willing to have someone come out, do a blood, urine, all that, versus, you know, just doing a non-medical application where there's no physical involved, that's, you know, they've kind of already built in the extra costs in there. So it's going to be a little bit more expensive than your typical term, but, you know, it could end up being the same price depending on how your labs come back. So if you have a few health issues, you know, non-medical is definitely a good option for $1 million. But to answer that question, it really just depends. I've seen it as low as $30, $20, depending on how young you are. Upwards of, you know, $1,000 a month.
That's the great thing, actually, is going through a broker or financial services like us, jungagency.com. If you go on Get a Quote, you actually can price out 70 different life insurance companies. I know, I was like, there's other companies out there like SelectQuote or Policy Genius. I've done some research. They have like 15 carriers, and we have all those carriers too as well. Policy Genius, I'm not sure, they might have 20, but we have 70. So the more choices you have, that means better pricing for you, actually. So I just priced out someone who's in perfect health for 20-year term for a 30-year-old, excellent health, the legal general banner life, $56.94 for $1 million policy. But that's, and then we have obviously Protective as well too. Actually, Protective is coming at $53.96, so it's a few dollars cheaper Protective. You have AIG, Transamerica, John Hancock, Pacific Life, Guardian, Mutual of Omaha, Mass Mutual, Lincoln Financial Group, National Life Group, Foresters Financial. Those are just mentioned, just some of the few. Those are the ones that came up on the radar because they're competitively priced. So, yeah. So, I mean, if you think about it, it's $53.96 for $1 million term policy for a 30-year-old is not bad, actually.
That's not bad. Yeah, so, not bad at all.
And that's something that's good about us, that you can actually go out there and price out your own deal and play around with your health and Do you smoke? You don't smoke? 30 year, 20 year, whatever, how you want to modify it. Okay, that's good. So there's medical and non-medical things. Physicals, obviously, these will have to go through physicals, better pricing. All right, how much do you need? Question number four that the public wants to know. How much do you need for a burial?
This is a really good question. Obviously, one, it varies by state and it varies by age. So California, it's very expensive. Northern California, it's probably the most expensive. It's also going to depend on the type of services that you do. So obviously cremation is going to be the least expensive. If you don't have a ceremony and things like that, that could be, you know, $2,000-$3,000 out the door, with urn included. And then if you want a traditional burial, just to kind of give you a figure. So I spent a lot of time in Southern California. That's where, you know, starting the business, and I've actually priced this out. Right now in California, if you want a traditional burial that includes embalming, a viewing, and all that, you're looking at least $20,000.
That's on the low end, actually. $20,000
on the low end. That's
very low. That's very, very minimum. Because the ceremony, flowers.
Very minimum.
The real estate alone is going to be a lot. The real estate, the plot actually is a lot. That's like $10,000, $12,000.
And that is in today's market. So if you died today, that's how much it would be. But you need to account for inflation. Mm-hmm. So a tool that you actually gave me when I first started out was the inflation chart, which, you know, helped me kind of put things in perspective, because you know, it's like, okay, it's $20,000 now. So all I need to get for burial is $20,000, correct? No. If you're in your 30s like myself, average life expectancy puts me in my 80s, so like 50 years from now.
87. Yeah. I think yours, if I remember. So 57 years. That's a long time.
That's a long time.
That could be a whole lot. Especially if it's printing money right now. Right. Debt ceiling. I think we have this video issue with the debt ceiling right now.
Yeah. And they still haven't figured that out. Inflation's out of control. You know, they don't know what they're gonna do with that situation. It's just going to end up in more printing of money, you know, because, but anyway, I'm not going to get political.
Yeah, I get into that. We can go another, another episode for that.
Yeah.
Okay, so depending on state, how expensive you are, if you're going to do a burial, I mean, if you're going to do a cremation or a traditional burial, yeah, it's just all different. You're right. You know, if you're living in, you know, Alabama or Georgia or Texas, is gonna be a lot cheaper than California. So, but that being said, you have to account for inflation. A lot of people have not accounted for inflation. I run into seniors all the time. Well, I have a policy I took out 30 years ago. It's $20,000. I say, ma'am, you can't even pay for a funeral right now. You're gonna have to come out with another $10,000 if you want to do it the way that you want to do it, the way you're explaining. And then you're pretty healthy now, and you're gonna, you know, you might live another 15 years, so you might need $50,000-$60,000. So you're gonna have to come out of pocket. And a lot of seniors, they didn't really count. A lot of these life insurance agents in the past, they're just trying to make a sale. Let's just make a sale and move on to the next person, opposed to us. Mm-hmm. How I taught you is we're here to provide a solution for your final expense. And we need to make sure that you have enough funds, coverage to pay for that. You know, it's like a doctor. A doctor's not going to change their opinion on something. If you're drinking too much, or you're obese and you're eating and you're going to eat yourself to death because you're, you know, your arteries and your health is not good, he's not going to tell you, you know, he's going to be straight with you and tell you, hey, this is what you need to do if you want to change, if you want to live longer. If not, don't stop drinking. You're going to end up passing away. It is what it is.
Yeah.
And I think with us, we like to be very transparent, very honest with people and let them know the situation that they're in. And I think that's important. There's some value in that, I think.
Yeah, I've seen jaws drop when I do policy reviews, because, like, you know, maybe they worked with a different agent before, and, you know, the agent was just like you said, they're trying to get a sale. It's like, you know, $50 a month, $20,000, cool. You know, but then I review it with them and I show them that chart. I'm like, look, you know, this isn't personal. This isn't just me saying this. Here are statistics, you know, from, you know, actual census done, like, you know, like inflationary charts showing you, hey, you know, this is what the cost is today with, you know, 3% or 5% inflation. This is what you can expect. And these are just numbers. You can't argue with numbers. They're just facts. It's like, this is what it is. So you got to be prepared for that. And once they see that, it makes sense. You're right. They're like, you're right. Yeah, I do need more. But before that, they had no idea. So someone has to explain it to them. So,
got it. Okay. All right. Question number five. This is a pretty good question. At what age is life insurance worth it?
Man, I hear this all the time. this is a kind of a bad joke, but some people are like, you know, I might end up paying more into my insurance than the face value, you know, and I heard this joke a while back, just die sooner. But yeah, but you know, the fact of the matter is, life insurance, it's not like car insurance where it's like, you know, the insurance company only pays out if something happens. Life insurance, there's 100% guarantee that this will happen. It will in fact happen. And when that does happen, they will pay out, so long as, you know, you've gotten a permanent plan or you pass away within the term period, of course. So with that being said, you know, it's always worth it. Obviously the earlier that you get it, the lower the cost of insurance. So the more additional benefits you get from it. But in terms of it doing its job, which is at the bare minimum, just covering your final expenses, there's no bad time. You know, it's, if you don't have it, get it, period.
I think, yeah, we have a lot of policies for kids. They take out these $25,000 or $50,000 policies. They pay $5 a month. And then when they become 18, they give the policy to their kid. Hey, this is your policy. I take this out when you're a baby. Now, this is your policy. Policies can be transferred. The ownership can be transferred. People don't know that, the ownership of a policy. So I recommend taking a policy on your kid. I know it's like crazy. Like, wow, that's terrible. But unfortunately, accidents do happen. I had tragedy in my family. I lost two nieces and nephew, 3 and 5, in a fatal car accident. So my uncle had to pay for the funeral. I mean, there's no discount on kids. You know, it's things happen. Kids pass away all the time, shootings and stuff like that. And if you don't have insurance, you still have to come out of pocket. So it's very important, I think, possibly to have insurance on everyone, all the kids. And never too early to get a life insurance policy.
It builds cash. Never too late. Yeah.
In those policies. Okay. So how does life insurance work? That's question number six. The public are a little confused about that.
Yes. Yeah, a lot of people are very confused about life insurance. So, I mean, basically, and this is what most people say when I ask them, you know, do you know how life insurance works? They're like, yeah, it's, you know, I pay this premium and when I die, someone gets this money. In a nutshell, that's the, you know, basic part of it is, you know, as long as you pay your premiums, then, you know, you set a certain amount when you take out the policy based upon your age and your health at that time. So you determine, okay, you know, I'm going to pay you $50 a month. $50 a month is going to get you X amount of coverage. And that's the amount that pays out when that time does come. So, you know, that's at its simplest point, that's it. You know, there are other factors in there. I mean, you could do reduced paid up options. You could do, you know, contracts that, you know, you only pay until age 65 or age 100.
Paid up policies, yeah. Paid up policy, yeah. And reduced paid up. So that's like a life insurance policy. I guess you can do that as well. All right.
Yeah.
Question number seven. Can I use my life insurance while I'm alive? So people are associating life insurance with death. I have to die in order for someone else to benefit, which is my family. Is that the case?
So yeah, this is actually, you know, my, I was talking to my sister about this not long ago and she was like, oh, I never knew that. You know, it's like she's a medical doctor, you know, very educated people are unaware that, you know, there's other uses to life insurance outside of just, you know, paying for your funeral. So the first one we'll kind of talk more about later. Something that, you know, you just had a sale earlier, so kind of dealing with this, we'll talk about that. But yeah. The first one is policy loans. So we kind of mentioned earlier just a little bit about infinite banking. Mm-hmm. So that's one way you can use policy loans is, you know, you can take a loan from your life insurance plan that accumulated value in your whole life plan or your IUL. And you can go buy an asset, you know, have that asset, you know, create enough, you know, income for you that you can pay that loan back or not.
I just found out that Wells Fargo, Bank of America, JP Morgan Chase are the biggest holders of life insurance in this country, or those institutions. So yeah, they're doing the same thing. Their insurance companies are paying out, and they're very solid, A-plus rated. You know, they rarely default on their obligations, not like the banks do. The banks are over leveraged. Insurance companies do not have that kind of leverage in terms of what they do with their funds and their due diligence. So yeah, same thing. Take a loan out, buy something, pay it back. And the thing about that is that the interest that you're compounding, that contract you signed that up 10 years ago, you're getting that same interest for life of that policy. It doesn't change. Once that policy is written, that policy, the interest rate that you're getting credited to your account is for life on that policy. You take a life insurance policy, you take a life insurance loan against it. I spoke with them. You're just collateralizing. Your life insurance policy is your collateral. So the event that you pass away, they're going to take away obviously any loans that you had against that you owe to the insurance company, and they'll just pay them off, and whatever is remaining will go to your family. So technically, you don't even have to pay back your loans. You can take a policy out, take a loan, and just not pay it back, because you're still your policy is still compounding and still growing and still building cash value to sustain itself, and that's a great thing as well.
Yeah, you know, businesses use IULs to generate bonuses for their top employees. That's a thing.
Yeah, business owners. So we can talk about that in the next episode. There's so much stuff that we can talk about.
Yeah. So we won't dive too deep right now. So, but the second way that you can use life insurance while you're alive. So a lot of policies, and it's very important that you ask your agent this. A lot of policies have riders. Most of which, you know, there are some that have additional costs, but in most cases, the ones I'm going to mention here come built into a policy from a really good company. In fact, we work with NLG, and they have all of these riders I'm going to talk about. Some companies have a few, some have one or two, but the first one being the chronic illness rider, critical illness rider, critical injury rider, terminal illness rider, and the fertility rider. So kind of like what they sound like, if you have a chronic illness, a critical illness, this is like a heart attack, a stroke, cancer, things like that. There's a list of like seven typically. Critical injury. So if you sustain an injury that, you know, puts you out, a broken hip, something like that, there's a payout for that. Terminal illness, you know, whether it's 12 months or 24 months, depending on the state that you live in. If you're diagnosed with a terminal illness, the insurance company will advance you all or a portion of your death benefit up front.
So you have a wish list if you want to go on a trip and do stuff before you pass away, obviously you can use that money.
Yeah. If you have a heart attack, obviously you can't work, can't pay your premiums, things like that. So they're going to give you a lump sum of money from your death benefit up front. Yeah.
Okay. Lifetime income right as well. So, okay. This is a good question. Question number 8. Can anyone qualify for life insurance?
In short, yes. Now there's a plan for everyone. Not everyone's going to get, you know, all the bells and whistles, but there is a plan, for everyone. You know, the plan that you get is going to depend on a few things: your medical condition that you're currently in, your age, you know, where you live. Some products aren't available everywhere. But just know that the younger that you are, the youngest that you can absolutely get a policy is 2 weeks old. So if you're 2 weeks old, that's like literally the cheapest that it's going to be ever. As long as you're in good, you know, you're in good health at that time, you know, so parents, if you want to do something great for your kids, when they're 2 weeks, give them that policy. They're going to win long-term, because they're going to have a very inexpensive plan that they can borrow from in the future. It's going to compound all, you know, throughout that time. And for you, it's, you know, probably a couple of dollars a month to give them a lot of coverage. In short, yeah, anyone can get life insurance, but the type of plan they can get, it's going to all depend on your personal situation.
Yeah, I would say you have to go through somebody that's a professional and that has all the different approved carriers, life insurance carriers, because you only have like two or three or four or five, especially if you're a captive insurance company and you only have like one type of product and one type of risk tolerance, like you're going to have to pass on a lot of things. I'd say I would strongly recommend go to a broker.
Yes.
That has, or a financial services firm that has at least 20 to 30 insurance company on the minimum, because you need to have a wide range of insurance companies to help people. Because I might be able to help your help you, a husband, but I can't help the wife because the wife is has cancer and she's
COPD or
OPCD, yeah, or she has insulin diabetes. My insurance company might be like, oh, we love you, we have great rates, but we really like, because every insurance company is very particular about what they like, what they don't like. They have their own risk tolerance. So that's why all 70 insurance companies that we work with, they all have their own risk tolerance, you know. Everyone's different in terms of it's like tools. Every tool is different and there's purpose.
Yeah.
Okay. Another question, number 9, is how much life insurance do I need?
So yeah, we talked a little bit about this earlier, but yeah, I mean, the first thing is burial. So you think about burial costs, we kind of like overcovered that, but there are other various final expenses that you need to consider. You know, Uncle Sam still needs his money when you die, so you still have to file a final tax return. Mm-hmm. So that's something that you have to account for. So if you owe any taxes for that year, someone has to pay that bill. Outstanding debts. So that could be your mortgage, that could be credit cards, that could be a car loan, student loans. You know, if you pass away, you take out a student loan, your parent co-signed for that, they're now on the hook for that student loan. You know, they're not going to just forgive that because you passed away. Unfortunately, someone's going to still be responsible for that. So it's very important that, you know, you have coverage in place for all of that. We kind of talked about this, but you know, the amount of income protection that you want to have in place, all up to you, you know, in the long of it, but you know, we recommend, you know, maybe 10, 15 times your annual. But, you know, some people have said, you know, three to five times. It really just depends. Also, you want to consider setting up the next generation. It's unfortunate that not everyone thinks this way, but personally, I think that it's important that we make things easier as the generations go on. You know, a lot of people have this mindset, well, you know, they should have to struggle and they should have to, you know, go through things that I had to go through when I was growing up, and that's what made me strong. That's their opinion. My personal opinion is set them up for success, give them all the right tools. Life is hard enough as it is, even with a lot of money. Just ask, you know, all these people running for office and all, you know, all the people that are, you know, they're already rich, but it's like they have struggles that they still have to go through to, you know, to get to even higher heights. You know, as the generations go on, you want to keep moving forward. So the way that you do that is by creating, you know, generational wealth, something that you can pass on. So, you know, $1 million, $2 million, that would help the next generation significantly. Donating to your favorite organization. So a lot of people, when they pass away, they want to donate to their church, you know, they want to donate to their school. So maybe, you know, factor that part into, you know,
I guess your legacy, you know, when you're leaving this earth, me and you both have strong faith. I'm a believer. And, you know, you want to leave this place better than, you know, when you leave it. So, yeah. I really think as you get older, think about your legacy and you go to these different places around LA and it's all these great places and you see someone's name on there, getting, wow, this guy donated all his money so I can, on a Saturday, go to Malibu and just see this beautiful, his home and see all this, appreciate this artwork. And yeah, it's really, I mean, all around LA, all around Bay Area, everywhere in the country, there's always people who've donated so that the public can actually enjoy it.
And you can set up a scholarship. I mean, I was a beneficiary of a great scholarship to go to college, and had that person, you know, not set that up, then, you know, maybe I wouldn't have gone to that school, or maybe, you know, who knows. But the next thing being, you know, money for a caregiver, for your children or for your pets. A lot of people don't think about that. If you pass away, you know, who's going to take care of your pets? You know, who's going to take care of your children?
Caregiver, like, that's wow. My sister has 2 dogs. Shout out to Buddy and Dulu. So she passed away, and like no one was to care for them. Maybe she want them to have a really good life. And maybe
they
can like care for them until they pass away, which is kind of interesting.
People don't think about that, but you know, that's kind of an important part. But one company that I really, really like, I've done a lot of business with them as a recent, Forrester Financial. They have a benefit where if a child is orphaned, meaning like both parents pass away, or if it was a single parent, that one parent passed away, whomever takes over that responsibility, they'll receive a monthly benefit per each child until that child turns 18.
Wow, that's just amazing. Cover expenses. That's why we're forced. Yeah, you're on fire for us. So that's great. Yeah. I love that they actually.
Oh my God! Yeah. Yeah, that's a huge benefit. That's a huge selling point for a lot of people, because if you and your spouse pass away in the same accident, or if you're a single mom, single dad, you pass away, someone's gonna have to take care of your kids. And you know, we've all seen Annie, we've all seen these movies of orphans and how terrible that life is, or Cinderella, or you know, whatever, you know, living in a family where you know, you're kind of like the ugly duckling because you're the stepchild or you're the adopted kid or whatever. So you know, to ensure that your kid gets that, can still have that lifestyle that you wanted for them even after you're gone, you can take out a policy with Forrester Financial. Just a little plug for them. Shout out to Forrester.
They're not approved. We're one of only a couple of financial services. I know I don't see Foresters out there a lot, to be honest. It's like a gem that we found them.
Yeah, they're a great company. I actually just got an email. They paid out about $22 million this past year in dividends. Some of the policyholders.
That's a good question. So Mark, there's mutual companies and there's not mutual life insurance. So let's talk a little about that. That's a question that I think people should know.
So with mutual companies, you know, Forrester's being one of them, Mass Mutual. With that, all of the policyholders can actually receive part of the profit sharing. So when the company performs well, then they're actually going to share that money with everyone that has a policy with their company. Now you can either receive an actual like dividend check in the mail every year, or what I encourage a lot of people to do is, if you don't take the check, they'll actually just increase your death benefit every year, which is huge. But a non-mutual life insurance company,
stock company, trade stocks, stock company,
they're not going to give you that same benefit every year. So no increasing death benefit or no annual, you know, dividend check. So they could have profited $50 million, $100 million, $1 billion, but you're not going to see any of that.
Yeah. I think, if it's a whole life policy, you want to, I would say if you can, if it's makes sense financially, you want to choose a mutual company that you're going to get dividend. That's huge. You can make 2-3% every single year. That will reduce your monthly.
Shout out to Mass Mutual and Forrester Financial.
That was amazing.
They've got really great rates. To be a mutual company, like, they're very competitive with a lot of non-mutual companies when it comes to pricing. And Forrester is very lax on their underwriting as well in comparison to other non-mutual companies. So not only, you know, do you have a greater chance of qualifying, it's a really good rate, and you're going to get dividends. So, I mean, kind of
that's
a no-brainer.
Yeah, that's not a great thing about a lot of carriers, which we have.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right, so question number 10. We're going to make 10 questions. How can life insurance be used to fund your retirement? Or can it be? Is that possible?
Yeah, so whenever I bring this up to people, they're kind of like taken aback, like, well, again, we talked about this earlier, but life insurance is, you know, we only think about it paying for our funerals, but actually can fund your retirement. So little known fact, well, maybe you do know, but loans, right? Just generally speaking, loans are not taxable, right? By the government. If you receive a loan from someone or from bank or whatever, that money cannot be taxed. You do a reverse mortgage, whatever the case may be, can't be taxed on that money. So policy loans are also non-taxable. So instead of, you know, just cashing out your life insurance plan, you can actually just take loans against your plan and never pay taxes on the money. Obviously, life insurance, the best benefit about it is when you pass away, and when it gets passed on to the next generation without it being taxed as well. But while you're living, especially with an IUL, so Stephen, you can probably speak about this because you just helped out, a lovely teacher.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'll probably do another pod for that one, but pretty much how you structure the deal with the index universal life policy, you could structure it with minimum death benefit, max cash. So in life insurance policies that we work with National Life Group, you can,
you can definitely
manipulate it, see what the purpose of it is, if it's more death benefit or more cash value. So what, how do you do is you structure it and you put it together, you pay for 15, 20, 30 years. And then you can, at that point, you could just annuitize it and take loans against your policy and exhaust your complete death benefit. And that's pretty much what you're going to do. And since you're doing loans against your policy, it's like real estate. A lot of these people who are wealthy in America are taking loans against their policy, and that's how they're funding their lifestyle. They own real estates. They take out money against their properties, right? You have to write that off as well, I think. I'm not a CPA. And then they get to use that money and just live off it. So that's kind of crazy how they do that. But that's how you're saying the concept you're doing here is that you're using an asset, a vehicle like life insurance, and you're building cash value through the stock market without any downside risk and only credits. And then you're actually just taking loans against your own policy and never going to pay it back and no intention of ever paying it back.
Yeah. Recently, I helped out a young nurse. She's 23, makes good income. She was putting money into a 401k, but she was a traveling nurse, so she's always constantly changing agencies, trying to get higher contracts and stuff like that. When you get locked in with a company, you got to stay there to maintain the benefits from that company. So she's constantly having to like restart a new 401k every time she changed companies. So great benefit about an IUL is it's permanent and portable. So it's going to go with you wherever you go. So you don't have to worry about, oh, well, I don't want to leave this job because my 401k, you know, this is going to go with you. And now she's just paying a set amount every single month, same amount that she was paying into her 401k. But the upside in this product is amazing. I mean, we did the illustration, and the illustration is always very conservative in comparison to, you know, what the market's actually done in the last 20, 30 years. But they're always very conservative in the illustration, which is good. But even with that, I mean, she's going to be wealthy. She is going to be wealthy. And it's not guaranteed, but I mean, even with like 3.25% interest on what she was paying, I mean, she's paying $4,800 a year. She was going to have, with 3.25% average interest over the next 30 years, which by the time she turns 65, she's going to have like over $20,000 a month of income for life.
That's probably more. I mean, as long as you structure it correctly, yeah, definitely. Yeah. I would say even more than that because relative to her age.
Yeah.
Right, so that's question number 10, guys. So I'm going to do one more bonus question. Question number 11, could you stay to the end of this video, end of this podcast? Number question number 11, why do I need life insurance, Mark? I already have work insurance.
I love this question. Well, work insurance, it's great. And
it's very cheap. You don't
cheap. Yeah. Right. And yeah, generally, yeah, there's no medical questions. So there's two types of work insurance that we talk about all the time. One type you don't contribute to, it's just provided to you as a benefit. That type, generally not permanent. It's not going to go with you. As soon as you leave that company, they're going to assign that coverage to someone else. So, you know, obviously that's not good because you want to retire. You're not going to just work there until you die, or you may change jobs, you know, or they may change ownership or whatever the case may be. So that's one type of work insurance. Second type being the type that you contribute to, a group plan. You know, once you leave that group, in most cases, not every single case, but in most cases, that premium is going to go up once you leave the group. So if you change jobs, retire, that premium is going to skyrocket. So to avoid all that, I mean, if it's cheap, get it, whatever, have it for while you're there. But you want to own something outside of that so that you can take advantage of all the benefits that we talked about. retirement income, you know, the cash value. Most work insurances, it's going to be a term policy. It's not going to build any cash value that you can actually do anything with. It's just going to pay out just for life, you know, just for that's the sake of that, as opposed to all the benefits that we talked about in the video. So if you want those benefits, want to benefit from that, you need to get your own plan outside of your job.
Yeah, get your own private insurance. I tell people it's the cheapest thing. My wife has it through UCLA. We have it through UCLA. She has $500,000. I think $250,000. It's like $10 a pay period or something like that. It's relatively inexpensive. Do that first, but then majority of the times they're not going to give you 10 or 15 times your salary. That's the only problem. So that's why
you need to go and get your own private insurance as well. So, yeah. All right, guys, one more thing here. I want to show you how to about our application here and how this works. Mark, now hopefully you could see my screen here.
Yep.
All right. So you go to jeungagency.com, J-E-U-N-G, agency.com. You can go on there and learn about our company, about what we do here. Obviously, life insurance, supplemental health, health insurance. We'll do another video with that. Mark leads that group, retirement planning and wealth management. Click on here with our partners. These are just some of the partners that we work with here. It's very extensive. Life insurance, linked benefits, long-term care, annuities, disabilities as well. And then careers, if you're interested, looking for working from home, we're always looking to bring people on, opportunity, financial freedom to work from anywhere and spend more time with your family. And then contact us and then get a quote. This is probably the most powerful thing here. We use our search engine here. And you just click on like life, and let's do mark your situation, okay? Life insurance, you're a young guy, let's do a term policy, you're a male. You're born July
24th,
1990. And you're in excellent health. You don't smoke. You're a citizen. And what is your zip code? I'll just say zip code. It was just
90230.
Yeah. And then let's say you're making, let's just say you need $1 million policy. Go next. Let's just say you what? You want a 30 year.
Yeah.
So pretty much here, it's amazing. We have two different ways. We have Banner Life, fast line approval, $57.02, A plus, 30 year. And then these are the agent. So you have Transamerica, AIG, Pacific Life, Mutual, Omaha, Lincoln. So in this situation, A plus. So yeah, it's between, I would say I'll go with Banner Life, definitely over Transamerica. Transamerica has been a nightmare in terms of work with, in terms of underwriting process. So in this situation, based upon our experience and our service, that's where you want to work with a professional, we would go through Banner Life. So guys, it's that simple. Let's just say Mark says, hey, you know what? I want to do a 20 year. Click on 20 year, only $35.27 for a 20 year. And look here as well, too. So you can play around here in different amounts, different terms. If you're smoke, if you don't smoke, you want whole life. So, yeah, something you guys definitely can take advantage of, guys. All right, so thank you, guys. We definitely are here to help families and spread the good word. Hopefully, you got a lot of value in this. If you saw a value in this, be a huge favor and like this video. That'll help with the algorithm. Please make a comment. That'd be great too. And definitely subscribe to this podcast. And Mark, again, thank you. You're a great business partner. Your passion to help people, mentor others. And it's really, really been inspiring. So guys, we'll see you guys on the next one.